is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero Vinyl Plank Flooring. It provides a genuine, weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yes. We told you yes. Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday at noon with ESPN. He has been a busy, busy man. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I have been busy.
You have been all over the place.
It's on the go.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was good.
You know, you had to think about that.
I did. I mean, the last week has been a lot. But, yeah, I mean, it's I get a little break now, which is good. And, you know, I think, you know, it was a good game the other night. The lead up and stuff was pretty good. I thought two good teams in the Super Bowl. It's fun to cover them, talk about them. So, yeah, it was all good.
Is it fair to pile on Kyle Shanahan or unfair?
Unfair. Completely
okay, why?
Unfair. Well, two things. You know, the end of the first half scenario – they're getting the ball. The Niners are getting the ball to start the second half. They decide not to use a timeout there, which I think ultimately was a smart decision because when the ball was punted, if you guys remember, really should have been downed inside the 5-yard line. Pringle, the gunner for the Chiefs, he has made a bad play. So I think if you're Kyle Shanahan, you know, because you're getting a stop around midfield, you know, the expectation is you're going to get pinned back inside of, you know, your own 20-yard line. So, and if they would have done it correctly, would have really been inside the 5-yard line. So then at that point, Kansas City has 3 timeouts, and you're backed up inside your own 10-yard line. Like, there's a really good shot. You're punting them the football and giving Patrick Mahomes another chance right before half. I mean, think about the Houston Texans, you know, how that went. So I look at that scenario in that, you know, the main goal there is to get to halftime with the game tied. And they did that. And well, I'm a guy that picked the Chiefs, but when it was 10-10 at halftime, I thought, well, shoot, this current score favors the Niners, you know, especially with them getting the ball. So that'd be the first thing. Then everyone is looking at that situation with like 6 minutes left in the game when they get the ball back after Kansas City, I guess, you know, got within 3 at that point. They run it, and they get 5 yards. So now it's 2nd and 5. Well, the very next play that everyone is you know, kind of being critical of the play calling from this point on, it's a Mike Samstrong safety blitz. There's 8 guys in the box. Basically, you have no shot to run the football against that look and that pressure. And really, you risk probably, you know, a negative play. Well, so they have a great play call. They got play action, which have been great for them all night. And they've got George Kittle wide open, you know, basically running on Terrell Suggs, who's a zone dropper. So they're just unlucky that the ball gets batted down. Then on 3rd and 5, when the call they play, they get George Kittle wide open again, and Jimmy Garoppolo just doesn't throw it to him. So, like, I'm looking at that sequence there, which is outside of a traditional 4-minute offense sequence. Kyle Shanahan called good plays. You know, his team didn't execute them, and – you know, I don't think there was anything super aggressive about what they were doing. I think they found themselves in 2nd and 5 and a good opportunity to throw the football with play action like they'd been doing all night rather than, you know, running, having a negative play, and then having a known passing situation to put Jimmy Garoppolo in.
So I'm not disagreeing. So he took heat as the OC in Atlanta when they had the 25-point lead because they stopped running the football. And in the second half, I mean, that's what we came in saying, the Chiefs, strength is they're obviously their quarterback and they're fast on offense, and the strength of the 49ers is the running game and their defense, especially the running game, how they've been running. And they got away from that in the second half, but you're saying that was more of credit to what Kansas City was doing on defense?
Yes, and, you know, I think so many times people want somebody to blame, and I'm not looking for somebody to blame, but Kyle Shanahan's taking a lot of heat. The truth is, if you're like, okay, what's Kyle Shanahan's job? His job is to put his players in a position to be successful, correct? I mean, that's what a coach's job is. Like, put your players in a position to be successful to help you win the game. So if I'm looking at a decision at the end of the half, well, okay, I mean, that actually worked out. Like, you know, you go into halftime with it tied and really had a chance to get some more points at the end of that half, if not for the pass interference call. So I think he gave his team a chance there. And then I look at what he did, you know, in that scenario I just explained to you, getting the ball back with 6 minutes. He calls a successful run play on first down. He calls a play that really should be a big play and get you a first down, you know, on second down. Does the same exact thing on third down, and not even address the fact that, you know, when you get the ball back, he's got Emmanuel Sanders, you know, deep for a post who's open, and Jimmy Garoppolo just doesn't hit him. And so, look, I thought Jimmy Garoppolo for much of that game was very good. I mean, he was 18 of 21 at one point. I think he was 13 of 14 on play action at one point. But he did not play well down the stretch. And so if you're looking for somebody to blame, if you're like, hey, whose fault is it? Like, honestly, it's the quarterback's fault. Like, the coach called good plays. The quarterback didn't do what he was supposed to do.
Interesting. And we know on the other side, when you have that guy. So the question is, they have that guy, and he's just in his second full year, which is crazy. He's won an MVP, and now he's a Super Bowl MVP and champ in just his second full season. Are they now the team to beat? Is this because they have Mahomes, they're the team to beat?
Yeah, I think so. Much like we've always talked about Aaron Rodgers, like they're always going to have a chance because they have Aaron Rodgers. But I also think, you know, when you look at them, they have a really good coach, a really good quarterback, and they have some other players that are outstanding. So, you know, their speed combined with their quarterback and their coach means that offensively they're always going to be really tough to deal with. And
would you take, by the way, you brought up Aaron Rodgers, would you take Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of his career, first couple of years in as the full-time starter, or Mahomes?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, and Aaron had some pretty good receivers, you know, when he first started to get things rolling there.
So they're that close in your mind. They're that close.
I want to take Mahomes. There's part of me that just wants to, like, try to rethink this a little bit and not be prisoner of the moment.
Right.
You know, a little bit on it.
Don't you like the team around Mahomes, though? I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers had good receivers, but
But I really want Tim to answer it more just as a quarterback. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to get into payroll and players.
But the guys around you do matter. And if you think back to them, like, you know, they really had it going with some of the guys that had. I mean, Greg Jennings was amazing at that point. Donald Driver was still there and really good at that point. I mean, they had a crew of receivers that were outstanding, much like the Chiefs do. In terms of, yeah, I think they both do, you know, I mean, guys are currently doing stuff, and this was the case with Aaron. They do things where you're like, oh, my gosh, like, I watch all of these other quarterbacks and other guys aren't doing what that guy is doing. I think they both fit that mode. I'll tell you another guy who, you know, everyone's saying, like, hey, we've never seen this before. I just don't know if that's totally accurate. I think we just forget sometimes. Like, Brett was doing this. When Brett Favre was at his best, this is what Brett was doing. It really is. So, you know, I think we have seen it before. You know, obviously he threw 50 touchdowns, you know, two seasons ago. Brett never did that. But, yeah, I think that it's hard to say. The thing that has probably surprised me the most is Mahomes' ability as a runner is way better than, you know, I thought that it would be. I mean, he didn't run a fast 40 time. He didn't. But when he gets out there, it's like he just you know, is competing at a level that, like, whatever it takes, he's able to do it.
Isn't that interesting? I'm always – we had Pat Sperduto on yesterday, who used to be the Nashville Cats head coach, both stints here back in the day for Arena Football League. He used to be on the Titans. He's been with the Chiefs now as a scout for over a decade. He lives here in his family in Nashville. He's a big friend of the show. I've known Pat a long time. He is a very, very close friend of mine. And isn't it interesting, kind of the inner workings, because you understand that. Like, the Chiefs identified Mahomes, and they traded up to get him. And you just wonder at, what, 10? And you just wonder, like, why did anybody else feel, you know, like, what did they see? It's interesting because you're like, you know, he wasn't the fastest. Like, some guys, you just know, right? You just know they're going to, like, Joe Burrow. Like, there's nothing to talk about. He's going to go number one, and that's that. But Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City traded up. They identified him as the guy, and they had Alex Smith. They had come off a big season of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can nobody else, like, I wonder why nobody else was saying, oh, my gosh, we've got to have this kid at Texas Tech. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, I'll tell you, because I watched him. And what they were doing offensively, you know, and kind of the success and lack of success they would have at times, and some of the things that he would do in college would make you wonder how good he would be in the pros. So, you know, they are in that, the truest form of, like, a college spread. Like, you know, pass protection-wise, they're just cutting a lot of the time. I'm not sure they're identifying anything. He's throwing a lot of balls that are, you know, that are at the line of scrimmage. He's, you know, he's got a bit of a wind-up while he's there. He would make some throws. Like, he's got a couple throws where he's running around and then he launches it down the field, and you're like, wow, you can see this guy's really talented. But then he has plays that he does that, and then he throws an interception. So, you know, there, his college tape definitely has some, like, Sports Center highlight plays. But, like, you get some not top tens in there, too. You know, it just – that is the reality of that situation. I think people sometimes forget, like, he goes to Kansas City. He gets coached by the guy that's probably been as good as anybody ever at coaching quarterbacks, doesn't play for a year, watches a guy play who is, like, as technically sound as just about anybody that plays the quarterback position, and – I think the improvement from the time he left Texas Tech to the time we actually saw him start, you know, an NFL season, there was a lot of growth. Like, I don't think that it's fair to, like, what Andy Reid and his coaching staff have meant to him, you know, to not acknowledge that. And I've said this to you guys before. Just think about this and name me another coach who's had this type of success. He's won with Donovan McNabb. One with A.J. Feely and Coy Detmer. One with Jeff Garcia, Michael Vick, and Kevin Cobb. One with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Like, name me another coach ever that has won with that many different quarterbacks.
Mm, wow. I'd have to think about that. That's a really good question. Hmm. Like, to, I mean, that level. Because those guys are not, you know, those are not going to. Those are not eye-popping guys. Yeah. I mean, Donovan McNabb was a really good quarterback. I mean, he wasn't.
I mean, listen, he went to a Super Bowl, 3 NFC championship games in a row. Like, they were amazing with Donovan. And when Donovan broke his ankle, Coy Detmer came in and won games. And then when Coy got hurt, A.J. Feely ripped off 5 wins and then gets a big contract to play somewhere else. And then, you know, Donovan's hurt again. And what do you know, Jeff Garcia, who was terrible in Cleveland and, you know, wasn't good at that point, he's playing in playoff games. And then Michael Vick comes out of prison, and, you know, he's back to doing things that people are like, no way. Are you seriously? You're getting the best out of Michael Vick? And Kevin Cobb ends up getting a big deal because of how he played for Andy.
Kevin Cobb.
Gets Alex Smith. I mean, it's crazy.
Hmm. So Mahomes is a system quarterback, according to you.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a system quarterback, but I think that, like, what happens is you take a guy that's really, like, amazingly talented, and then you put him with a coach. And this is what Andy does. And And if more guys knew how to do it, it'd be amazing. But Andy runs the same plays. Like, he runs plays that he's always run. But what he doesn't do is he doesn't, like, force a quarterback to play a certain way for him. Like, he understands that, like, there are certain principles that can't be negotiated. But beyond that, like, he wants the quarterback to put his own personality into the offense. Like, he really wants that. And so that's the only way you get guys that are that different that he's coached throughout his career to play as well as they've all played.
All right, we'll come back more with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. We'll get into some off-season stuff, some things we've been batting around with the Titans. We'll do that with Tim on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every Wednesday. So Darren and I were talking, Tim, before you came on about this is going to be an exciting offseason for the NFL. It's not just the Titans. The Titans obviously have a lot of moves that they need to make, but the NFL overall, there are some big names that are going to be available. And I'm curious, as somebody that has gone through the whole process of signing with a new team and moving your family, I mean, is this sort of thing good for the league to keep some of the big players moving around?
Yes and no. I mean, I think ultimately free agency has been good for players. It creates an off-season story for fans. It generates year-round excitement. And I think that for many of the players, it's a good thing because, you know, sometimes you're kind of forced to leave because, you know, a team, you know, decides that they need to spend their resources elsewhere and a guy can go somewhere else and make a lot of money and look at, you know, the goal for so many players. So I think that stuff is good. I think the downside of it, I guess you would say, is that I think there are some guys that would like to stay, you know, where they are, but in some ways are almost, you know, forced to leave because, you know, a team just decides, you know, it's better to, you know, not pay a running back or whatever, you know, the case may be. So, but I think at the end of the day, I think it really is a good thing for the NFL on a whole. I think for the players on a whole. But yeah, like there are certainly some bittersweet moments for guys that, you know, get off to a good start with their career at a certain team and would like to stay in place, but a team just decides to go another direction. And you know, we've seen that play out a bunch.
When you look at the rosters as currently constructed before free agency opens and the draft and all of that, can you identify a team that could be this year's San Francisco that had a big injury and so therefore they weren't very good, but they have the roster in place that with a tweak here and there, they'll probably be right back?
So a team that was struggling. You know, I don't know that I would say like a team that I think was struggling that is, I don't know.
That's close.
Carolina Panthers, maybe. I mean, you know, maybe you say the Carolina Panthers just because, you know, their quarterback play was such a roller coaster. In Denver, if Drew Lock turns out to like, you know, really improve from, you know, what we saw a year ago, like that team could look differently. So I look at those. And then I think the team that was the most banged up team that got a lot of coverage was certainly the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, I think you can look at those teams as teams that, you know, either had injuries or kind of some uncertainty at a specific position that could have a decent turnaround. I don't know which of those teams, you know, the Eagles obviously had more than four wins, as did the Steelers.
Did you leave the Pittsburgh off for a reason, or did you just...
Well, I just think, like, Pittsburgh, I think I've said this to you before, I think Ben's done. Like, if Ben's not done, and he comes back and he's fine, then, yeah, I mean, look what they did, you know, bouncing between, you know, Rudolph and Duck Hodges. Like, think if Ben, you know, who had his best year ever in 2018, think if he was healthy, like, they would have been a playoff team.
Connor was hurt a lot. Juju was hurt a lot. I mean, they were littered with injuries.
But I think Ben's done.
What about a team like the Chargers? Obviously, they're going to have to figure out who's throwing the football, because I don't think it's – they pretty much said it's not going to be Phillip Rivers. So whether they're signing one of these free agents or they're going to the draft and starting over, is the roster around the quarterback good enough, or do you think that they're kind of entering that phase of they're going to be rebuilding as they start play in a new stadium?
No, I think they have a really good roster. Their defense is awesome. They've got very good wide receivers. They probably can, you know, get better along the offensive line, but the quarterback remains the issue. And you know, I think it's one of the reasons I think so many people have linked Brady to the Chargers is because, like, that's a scenario I think that, like, he probably makes them better. I mean, I could see that happening. It could really. And then, you know, it was interesting. I was on NFL Live with Damian Woody, who obviously was a teammate of Brady's in New England and his center for a few years. And, you know, Damian is convinced. He's like, look, this is not a football decision for Brady. It's just not. This has nothing to do with football. This has to do with his family and TB12. Like, that's what is driving this decision. And I think Damian's right. So if that's the case, then, yeah, the Los Angeles Chargers getting TB12 on the West Coast, you know, and being in L.A. is probably the direction that makes the most sense for, you know, those types of decisions.
Now, and you've pretty much said that you thought he'd go back to New England, right? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just, but you kind of felt.
Yeah, I think the best match for him, in terms of a team that, like, from a football perspective, the best match for him is New England, and the best match for New England, because let's face it, if you're New England and you're like, I don't know what we want to pay him, and you know we're not just gonna, you know, give him whatever he wants. But if you're New England, it's like, okay, it's not Brady, then who is it? Like, is it Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton? Like, who's your quarterback? So I think the best match for both parties, you know, is each other. So I do think I think Mr. Kraft overrides it and whatever, and I think if he plays, he's back in New England. Now, I have also told you I think there's a 0% chance he comes to Nashville. But I think that there's a much better than 0% chance that he ends up with the Chargers.
Okay, so what, 5%? 10%?
No. I mean, I think that there's a...
Because I think L.A. is a good fit for him too, Tim. So I agree with you.
That I'd put it at 50%, but I think there's a real chance he ends up with the Chargers.
I think
that's the best match other than New England.
Okay, and I'd agree with that. And I think the question that I haven't asked, I don't know if you've asked it, what does Belichick think in all of this? Because we want to say that Tom would consider leaving because he wants to prove that he can do it without Belichick, and it's not necessarily the Patriots. It's all about Bill and Tom. Where do you think Bill's head is at on all of this?
I think that he is just cold-blooded about these situations, in that he's not affected emotionally about what you've done in the past or any of that stuff. I don't think that he is. I don't think he cares one bit about that type of stuff. I mean, so I think that's the holdup on this. I think Mr. Kraft would love to have him. You know, he said as much. I think that, you know, there's a huge element of Brady. I mean, you've been somewhere so long. I mean, just in terms of, you know, not being able to, not having to do stuff in the off season, because you walk in and you know every term in the offense, and you're comfortable. You can, like, Tom Brady can be the Patriots quarterback with his eyes closed. And so I think there's an element for Tom that's super easy with that. And I still go back there. You know, Brady's father did an interview during the football season, and people were asking him about Tom's future. And Brady Sr. basically said, well, it's up to Bill. It's up to Bill. And if you just kind of go back over time, where, you know, Brady's father has spoken out a bunch throughout different periods of time throughout, you know, Brady's career. And usually is giving us a pretty good window into, you know, Tom's perspective and what's really going on. And so I get the sense that Belichick isn't completely crazy about re-signing him at whatever price Brady wants to be at.
So real quick, looking at the Titans, I mean, we've talked over and over again about what they need to do free agency-wise, but another move is replacing Dean Pease as defensive coordinator, and right now the signs are pointing that Vrabel is going to hold that title as the head coach and the DC. Knowing what you know from the past 2 years of Vrabel as the head coach, you think that is the right move, or should he bring in somebody else to run the defense?
I think it's the right move from the standpoint of, you know, rather than just putting somebody in that spot that you don't really want and trust, rather than doing that, then, you know, you just take a more hands-on approach and, you know, maybe groom somebody that is ready to do that in your mind. And so I think when you look at how the offense progressed and got better, you know, I think the team is in a much different scenario going into next season where, you know, Vrabel, I think, can say, "Art Arthur Smith, like I'm going to leave you alone. Like, you got that on that side of the ball," and be less hands-on on the offensive side of the ball and be more hands-on on the defensive side of the ball. So I think because of the success on offense this past year, you know, I don't know that – I don't believe that it's a bad scenario.
Okay, college football analyst, expert.
Okay.
Who's the next Michigan State coach?
I don't know the answer to that. That one's surprising. And, you know, from the people I've talked to, it seems to think that, you know, this isn't I've just decided to resign. You know, I'm not reporting anything on this. But, like, the timing is beyond bizarre, especially after a big payment, which he received 20 days ago. So, you know, I don't know. It was interesting to see Luke Fickell's name come up. Speaking of guys that Vrabel's tied to, see his name come up for it. And I know that he turned down a bunch of interviews to schools that most people would think, you know, was a step up from Cincinnati this past cycle. Michigan State job, I think, is a pretty good job. So be interesting to see kind of if they go that direction with him, or at least try to go that direction.
Interesting. Who's after Burrow? Is it Chase Young? Is that you think that's a
yeah? I mean, Chase I'm not McCabe. Positive with that. You made a comment about, like, hey, everyone's sold on Burrow, and I think that by and large that's 100% true.
Well, I didn't say everybody. There only needs to be one team sold on him, and that'll be the Bengals.
Yeah, no, you're right. But here's what the interesting thing with Burrow is that, you know, we've seen guys, the thing about, you guys remember it with Jake. Jake has an amazing, you know, year in college, comes back to school, and then doesn't have a great year. Still ends up being a top 10 pick, right? So you can take a guy that has a great year and follows it up with not a great year, and he still ends up being a really high draft pick, right? Well, what happens with a guy that does the reverse of that? Has an okay year and then has an amazing senior year. Like, who is the guy? Who is he? Is the guy his last year? Is the guy, you know, his second to last year? Same thing with Jake. Who is Jake? Second to last year or his last year? Like, which one is he? And so, that's going to be a question that people are asking. Bengals are not, you know. With Burrow, like, there's legitimate. I sat with McShay and Kuiper yesterday, and look, they think he's going to be the first overall pick, but they don't think it's they do think there is legitimate concern. Like, people have commented to them about, you know, how you don't really know.
Interesting. I know you guys are going to carry some of their games. You're a part of the networks, I think ABC and ESPN. We'll leave it with this. XFL, is there a reason we should devote our time? Is this going to make it? It's hard to get on board with these new leagues because they're here one day and they're gone the next. So should we invest anything into XFL?
Here's what I'd say.
Is that an unfair question to you as someone who's employed by ESPN? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, and I'm not even
if I felt, look, I've told you guys before, I benefited from NFL Europe. I hope that this works.
Yeah.
I hope that, you know, guys get another chance through this. And I would just say this, you know, I had a couple really people very close to me that worked in the AAF, and there's a bunch of reasons that that didn't work, primarily financially. And, you know, there were some things that were working really well for those teams at AAF. So, you know, the financial component is very different in the XFL. Coaches and players are making less than they were in the AAF, and it's funded better than the AAF was. So I think on that alone, and broadcast partners and all of that, it's going to last longer. Like, this is definitely going to be longer than 1 year. And I think because of that, yeah, I mean, look, there are worse things to be watching on Saturday afternoon, that's for sure.
Okay. Tim, always appreciate the visit. Have a great week, and we'll do it next week.
Cool. See you guys.
All right. Tim
Hasselbeck, every Wednesday at noon, and we always enjoy his visits. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Smashville Live tonight, 7 to 8. Chase, you know anything about it?
I do. We'll be at the Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, right there off of Highway 100. My special guest will be the one and only Brent Peterson. Really looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Always enjoy my conversations with Brent, and it'll be fun to talk about the game last night, the one coming up against Calgary, how he views the team right now. Plus, I have a feeling I'll get him to tell some stories. So he has a few that he can break out. So looking forward to talking to Petey. We'll also get into, you know, his work with Parkinson's. Obviously, well documented that he has that and has fought it and has done a lot for the research. So we'll get into that too. A lot of good work.
Doesn't
Ozzy Brent Peterson
have Parkinson's? Did I see that right?
Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I did see that.
I thought I was just reading something recently.
And I believe like Neil Diamond does too.
Oh, it's. Yeah. It's actually quite amazing.
Obviously, Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody recently I saw. I mean, there's been a lot.
Yep. He just revealed that.
That's what I thought. Ozzy. I thought I just read something where he had said that he has Parkinson's. So you can bring that up with Brent Peterson. But in all seriousness, Brent has, like, talked to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, famous people that he's talked to them. He really has, and you should ask him. Has he reached out to Ozzy?
Yeah. I will bring that up with him.
Wouldn't you love to hear that conversation?
That'd be cool.
Brent Peterson and Ozzy Osbourne?
Brent, Ozzy Osbourne, yeah.
It's not bad.
I used to be able to do a pretty good Ozzy when he had the show on MTV.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, Ozzy Osbourne. Sharon!
Yeah.
That's what you always remember him screaming for Sharon.
So, yeah, and I remember, I think she talked about it recently on her show that, you know, she has the talk and brought that up. So, but yeah, come out tonight, Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. It's right there in the just next to the Publix Shopping Center on Highway 100, and looking forward to that. So, 7 to 8.
You heard me bring up the XFL. It starts this week, and that's the reason I broached that subject.
Yeah,
you're a wrestling fan. I know. That's McMahon. So are you going to give it some attention?
I'll probably end up doing like I did with the AAF, and I'll watch it. If it hooks me, then I'll keep with it. You know, one thing that I think will help it too is you can bet on it. I mean, I've seen it on all the gambling sites, so it's already there. So
How could you possibly? You have no.
How do the odds maker? Like, clue. You have no idea what to do.
Well, I mean, it's no different really than preseason football. Like, like you're betting on NFL preseason football, man. You, oof, that's a dark and lonely road. in my opinion. Yep. Like, how do you possibly try to project anything in a preseason game? How are you going to project, have any clue what this is going to look like?
Well, you don't.
I mean, you know the coach. You know, you may know a couple players, but still.
Well, and that's the thing, that they don't have the superstar players, but they do have the coaches. I mean, Bob Stoops, we've had him on the show.
He's the coach in Dallas.
Obviously, he is well known from the college ranks. But
June Jones is the coach in Houston.
Yep, I think Jim Zorn
is the coach in Seattle. Duh.
Right. So he's there. So there are some names that
Mark Trestman is a coach. Did you know that? I know, in Tampa.
Yeah. And then you got a few, Aaron Murray is a quarterback. Landry Jones is one of the quarterbacks. So they've gotten a
Cardale
couple of
Jones.
Cardale Jones. And okay, great. You want to see what those guys can do, and you're going to have a mix of college coaches in there that can run some fun offenses. You got the different rules. You can do the double forward pass. That's where they're losing me. When you're getting – did you see that? They have
– You go for 1 point, 2 points, or 3 points after a touchdown.
Right. Now you're kind of getting
Isn't there a running clock?
There's a running clock. I think they're doing away – and I know the NFL was experimenting with the kickoff rule of you can do like a 4th and 15 or something like that. I mean, is the XFL doing that or something similar?
I don't know about that one specifically, but I even saw something today. They're doing a double pass rule where you can throw the ball forward.
I mean.
Yeah, something like that. Like, they've done a lot of quirky stuff like that, but I'm not 100% sure about the 4th and 15.
I don't know about that. Just if you're going to be a football league and you're trying to get these guys back to the NFL and you're saying you're not competing with the NFL, then why are you making these wacky rules? Now, it could be that they're fun and the NFL all of a sudden go, yeah, we want to do that too. But, that's where the gimmick stuff comes in. Where you're having a little bit of WWE, but I from what Vince McMahon, I've seen Vince McMahon do one press conference on this, and that's when he was announcing that it was coming back. And then he hired Oliver Luck as the commissioner, and he's had football guys in place, which is the right move. Because last time.
You want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, because the last time, the first voice you heard was Jim Ross. We love Jim Ross, but you associate Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler with wrestling.
Yep.
And you see The Rock in the middle of the field being The Rock. And you have Vince McMahon being Mr. McMahon going, welcome to the XFL. It's just like, I get it if he's going to own it, but you have to have some separation. And so far, that's what they've done. They have a pretty good TV deal with Fox and then with ESPN or ABC. So,
are you surprised they're playing? Some of these places are in NFL stadiums.
Yeah.
Seattle, is that where the Seahawks play?
St. Louis is in
Tampa.
The Dome.
Well, but yeah, but they don't have anything there. I mean, that's yes, but at least there's nothing there. There's no tenant there. But I mean, they're playing at Raymond James. The Tampa team is going to play where the Bucks play. The New York team is there where the Giants and Jets and East Rutherford.
I think Houston's playing at the University of Houston.
Yes, that's correct. They're not at and Dallas is not at Jerry's World.
No, they're at the Rangers' old stadium.
I know.
Yeah, that's why they didn't tear it down. They're playing at that one. So there are three stadiums right there together.
Now they've got a retractable roof. Are they moving into this season? The retractable roof?
Yes. Yes.
It's right next door.
But the XFL team is playing in the old stadium. The one that we were in.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they're both Globe Life. One is Globe Life Stadium and one is Globe Life Park or something.
The old one, I think, is Globe Life Park.
Maybe.
I think that's right.
I don't know. I lose track of it. But
that's the one they're in.
Yeah. But and then L.A. I don't know where they're playing.
Probably a soccer field.
Are they playing in StubHub or whatever
it's
called?
No, it's in Carson. So it would be.
So they're playing where the Chargers were.
Yeah, they're playing in the soccer field.
There you go.
And they'll have all the fans of the other team come in and take over their stadium.
I brought up the gambling aspect. I just learned something. I had no idea that Vince McMahon has a minority stake in DraftKings. And so that's why the XFL is so close to the gambling stuff, that they're going to do a lot of their fantasy betting operations.
It'll do wonders for them.
Sure.
As we know. So I was just curious if you're... I'll watch it. Sure, I'll check it out.
Ricky just texts me and goes, I'll go down that dark and lonely road, Darren. Talking about
it's dark. And, no, I didn't say... Yeah, I did. XFL, like at the beginning, like that's a dark and lonely road. NFL preseason, that's a dark and lonely road. Come on.
It is, but
there's no lights. Your headlights are flickering in your car. It's kind of a scary travel. It really is.
What would be considered a success for this
league? And you look at your gas tank and you realize your light just went on, gas light went on. Ooh.
To cry for help.
That's betting preseason football and betting the XFL.
No,
in week one.
Yeah.
Gas lights on. There's no lights on this road. Your headlights are flickering. Yeah.
Well, look, as a lifelong Dallas Renegades fan, you know, I'll have to back my team.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been a fan of the Dallas Renegades as long as the Vegas Golden Knights fans. You know, they have some fans that have been supporting that team for 20 years. Just ask them.
St. Louis is the only thing. Like, they're just basically all the corners of North America, right? I mean, or U.S. And they don't really have anything in the middle. St. Louis, that's it. You got Tampa, New York, Texas, California, Seattle, Washington. Like, nothing in between.
Yep. And who's their Jonathan Hayes? I don't even know who that is.
He's
their St. Louis. So they're here real quick. The Renegades, Dallas, that's Bob Stoops. Houston, you mentioned June Jones. Winston Moss is the LA Wildcats coach. Jim Zorn in Seattle. Pep Hamilton, DC Defenders. There's a name. Kevin Gilbride, New York Guardians. There's a name. And then Mark Trestman in Tampa.
I wonder if he'll get punched in New York.
I don't know.
All right, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse over there, and they have a very experienced staff that want to give you the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that as we all get a little bit older? And their services have already helped a lot of men in this area, in Middle Tennessee, and the surrounding areas, with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make an appointment like I have by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, CoolSpringsMD.com. You should go to thegamenashville.com and enter to win your loved one a Luxon House Day Spa in Franklin Valentine's Couples Retreat Package. It's worth $650. You and a special someone could receive a Swedish massage, facial, and pedicure. The couples retreat includes 2 50-minute Swedish massages, 2 classic European facials, and some pedicures. Remember, go to thegamenashville.com to enter to win. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock, and we'll have our weekly chat with him. So we'll get into a little hockey talk with C. Mace here very soon. We had Carl Ravish on, and you brought up the Pete Rose story that's out there. And, of course, with the big scandal involving the Astros, Red Sox. Pete Rose has done what he's done. I've lost count. Making his pitch to get back into the hall. Carl Ravish told us, without a doubt.
Very quick, by the way. Very quick,
happening.
No.
Not happening.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, and look, you can have your thoughts on this. Should the ban be lifted? Should he be in the Hall of Fame? All that stuff. I mean, he's the hit king. The answer is yes, he should be in the Hall of Fame. But here's the issue. As Carl Ravich brought up, he probably has a case. In any normal circumstance, he probably has a case with baseball based upon the whole thing with the Astros and the players aren't being punished and things like that. He probably does. But he lies about everything. Anytime he gets close, anytime, you know, Fox was using him and he was on TV and the Reds, you know, he got like a, you know, the Reds were finally able to retire his number and they were able to honor him and, you know, all of that. And it's like, okay, everything's looking good. He's back. He's doing the right thing. He's behaving. And then he lies about something. And he gets caught again. And that's the problem. And so that's why baseball is like, no, no, we just want to stay far away from you. Anytime we let you back in and let you get close, we just want to stay far away from you. So I don't blame baseball. I think it's all for naught. I think he can go through the process. I think Pete Rose will be in the Hall of Fame one day, but it's going to be after he's long gone. They're not going to let him reap the benefits of being a Hall of Famer.
Why? What would change?
With him being dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't get to enjoy it. He'll be gone.
Should Joe Jackson in the Hall?
No.
Should he be in the Hall?
Yes.
He's been dead for a long time.
I know, and that's come up recently.
Why isn't he in the Hall? That's what I'm saying. If they're not going to do it, why would they start and make the precedent for him?
Right. So I'm glad you brought that up because I saw this recently with all the steroids talk that apparently there is a rule in place that once a player dies, their lifetime ban is over because they're not alive anymore. So hypothetically, they could revisit Shoeless Joe Jackson being in the Hall of Fame. And they might. You know, who knows? They might. The committee or whatever that they have that decides after that you can't be on the ballot with the writers anymore.
You can't have one without the other, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Like, you have to have – it's either both or no.
Agreed. If you put Shoeless Joe in, then Pete's got to go in too. Absolutely. I agree.
Like, it's not a separate – like, that is a package deal,
in my opinion. Do you think Shoeless Joe should be in?
Yeah.
Do you think Pete Rose should be in, putting the other stuff aside?
Pete Rose is so – it's a little bit tougher because of the icky factor. Like, the only thing that's
– Well, OJ's not in if all this happens – he was already in.
Yeah, true.
But if everything happens before he's
in,
he's not in.
Yeah, he needs to be in. But there obviously needs to be – I mean, we've talked about this for so long or so many times over the years. Like, a special wing or something noted on – you know, you got to have – something attached to it. Like, you just can't put them in like normal. There's got to be a story attached to it. Like, you can't just say, here's Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, and here's their body of work.
I mean,
you can't do that.
Well, and I get that.
Because it's special circumstances.
It's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of being a good person.
I understand.
Pete Rose is not a good person.
Special, there's a reason they're not in there. It's special circumstances. That would be the only way that they're in there. So you have to – that has to be part of the story. Or they would be in. Like, no one's questioning whether they should be in or not. Their body of work is
right.
It's a no-brainer. But there's a reason they're not, so there has to be – that has to go with them if you go down that road.
And that is a fair point, but you can do that. You can. It's a part of history, so you can have – if they get in, you go, well, Pete Rose was banned from baseball in 1980 or 90 or whatever it was for betting on baseball – he was reinstated upon his death and blah, blah, blah. Now he's a Hall of Famer. Fine. But the Hall of Fame is to recognize the on-field accomplishments of the player. And, yes, they have some dirty stuff connected to him, just like O.J. Simpson does. But guess what? They didn't kick him out. He still did it. He's still a Hall of Famer from a football standpoint. So he's still a college football Hall of Famer and a pro football Hall of Famer. So, sure. Yes, you can mention all that stuff, but is he not the hit king? Did anything change that? Did him betting on baseball make him the hit king?
I didn't say that he doesn't have a case. I know what he said. His problem, as we've already said, is he can't get out of his own way. He's the reason.
And so therefore he will lose this
appeal.
He
just had like a room full of mirrors, and he could just, which he probably does, and it doesn't change him. So even if he does look in the mirror, he's not going to change.
Look, I met him. I told you. I met him in Vegas, and it was
– me too.
You know, it was like, okay, this is cool.
And it's exactly – the scene that I witnessed was exactly what I expected to see Pete Rose in Vegas at a table.
You know what he asked me? I was wearing a Pred shirt. You know what he asked me? Think I should take him tonight? That was his question.
I don't – look, I don't have a problem. Look, if he wants to – he can gamble in Vegas. I mean, you know what I mean? But we're talking about,
yeah,
I understand, we're talking about, but comparing the wrongs,
mm-hmm.
Is one wrong worse over the other? Is taking steroids, is that worse than gambling? Is stealing signs with technology worse than those? I mean, how do you compare the wrongs?
Two different things, but did the steroid thing hurt Pete's case? or does it have anything to do with it? And what I mean by that is you have guys that you look at them and you go, they probably should be Hall of Famers, but they're not.
They're not in.
Because of the steroid stuff. Uh-huh. They're now coming off the ballot. McGuire's already off the ballot.
Doesn't help him. If that's what you're asking.
I think, like, if the steroid...
If they were all in...
Or it doesn't happen. Or it just, we never find out, or it doesn't happen, and then they get in. I think he's already
in. To me, it's more about if they were all in, then he could stand on his, you know, on the mountaintop and scream.
But the Hall of Fame's not putting him in because he's banned for life. If they lift the ban, then that changes everything. But that the criteria states that if you have a lifetime ban or you are banned from baseball for whatever, you are not eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. We'll come back, kick off the fourth and final hour with Chris Mason. He's in Calgary. Flames and Preds tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. 7 o'clock pregame. We'll talk to Chris Mason next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.